Wow, wasn't that amazing? All right, that's what you guys come for. Enjoy your nap. No, I'm just kidding. That was the good part. That was the fun part. Oh my gosh. So Will was supposed to be up here speaking, but we all knew that he couldn't shorten it down since we're going to have a program. So he thought, who can shorten the program down a little bit? You know, who can speak a little bit less? We know he'd be up here for another hour. So we had to get you guys to lunch eventually. Awesome. Before I start, I do want to honor a man that had passed away this week. If you guys know Red Harper, I just want to honor that man. He was so full of life. And if you ever met Red, you don't forget Red. I mean, he might have told me the same stories about children's ministry over and over and over, but I absolutely love to hear those stories. They changed a little bit over time. You know, I've been hearing for about 15 years or so, but I love to hear his stories. He was such an amazing man. And I want to honor Aiden and Percy. I know they're not in here, they're serving today, but I just want to honor them and thank them so much. That's awesome. They got married this week. It's a big week for you guys. All right. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just enter in your word today. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you're doing. We just usher in your Holy Spirit today, right now, that it would be your word spoke in this moment, that it would not be me. And it is not just up to me, Father, but what you have for each one of us, that you would speak to us and help us understand who you are through this message and who we are through this message. You have transformed us in so many ways. And if we haven't felt your presence in our life before, I'm hoping by the end of today that we've received you. Christmas is right around the corner. You are the reason for this season, not presents, not all the other stuff, but you. So speak your word this morning in your name. And everybody said, amen. All right. So has everybody been listening to all the series that we've been talking about so far? What have we been talking about? It's the message about what? Advent. All right. Will Harper. What's Advent mean? Arrival. I just make sure he's been listening to his own message, okay? So if I ask him something, you know, I'm just getting him back for what he does to us, okay? The floor's turned and I get to get him back. So means arrival. Jesus is the reason for the season. He's arrived. So it's so exciting. And then his first message was about what? Hope. My daughter Hope, I love it. Hope. He talked about the definition of what the world has for hope. And the definition of the world was more of a want and a wish. Like most of you probably wish that Will was speaking today. That's okay. We have a lot of different wishes that we wish, you know. I'm hoping I don't mess this up. But that's really the world's definition of hope, isn't it? But when Will told us that a real definition of hope was confident expectation. And when you think of that word hope, and you think of confident expectation, it's not just I hope this happens and I hope that happens. It's something that you're believing that's really going to change. It's not something that's just going to be, oh, Lord, would you please? It's, Lord, thank you for this happening. That's what we have to expect. He said that we're not created just to love God, but what? We're also created to be loved by God. To experience true love, you have choice. Now the church chose to let me speak today, which might be a bad thing, might be a good thing. We're going to find out. But we all have our own choice. I like that I keep you laughing. It makes me feel good. I'm doing all right then. So last week we talked about peace. Oh, I love that word. And the Bible says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And Will talked about how, you know, in the Bible, when they read, they knew it was going to happen, that he was going to eventually come. And they had this expectation of what it was going to look like. And he used the analogy of Aladdin. Came down, you know, Aladdin, he thought to be a prince, he had to come through with all that big stuff to get the princess to see him. And then Will made a choice, and we had to listen to him sing a song. But he did find it a good will. I thought about singing something this morning, but I don't want to enter into that. Shh, I'm speaking, not you. The world's definition of peace was no conflict. Man, wouldn't that be nice to not have conflict? But that's not really the definition of peace, was it? Peace comes from the inside because of Jesus. And the Bible's definition of peace was shalom. And that's whole or complete. Man, didn't shalom mean perfect peace when they said that? Perfect peace, whole and complete. Wouldn't you like to have that every day? Oh man, that would be so good. Jesus brought peace between God and man. What was broken through, really the world, what we had done, Jesus fixed. Peace is not the absence of conflict. It's the presence of a prince. And if you run to him, he fixes it. That was our recap from what Will said. So if you've missed it, those are just the little bit of nuggets that I got from his recap. Please, if you have missed it, go online, watch those videos. They're so, so awesome. So this morning, we're going to talk about joy. And I thought, oh man, give me this crazy awesome message. And he's like, you know what? You're going to start out with what joy isn't first. So I thought about what joy isn't. You know, we have this expectation of joy, how it feels and everything like that. But it's easy to get lost in what the world wants you to think joy is. You get on Facebook or you see somebody, you can be looking this way and seeing what they're wearing, this way, what they're driving. You can look this way, see what they live in. You can look this way and see, be like, wow, their kids are this amazing. They must have so much joy. And you can get on these views of going back and forth and back and forth and really miss what joy really is. You know, it's crazy that every time I've got to speak, and I'm sure this happens to you every single week, but every time I've got to speak, the thing that I get to speak over is the thing I get to struggle with that week. I mean, that's what Satan's going to do, right? He's going to hit you, and he's going to try to mess you up so that when you get up here, you're messed up. But all it does is give you fuel. I mean, if you really let it, all it does is give you fuel. This week alone, people... And I've watched this happen so much. Have you guys ever seen somebody that takes joy in saying something that's a lie? They take joy into going, you know what? This is what they said, and they just want to do this. Kind of reminds you of somebody, huh, in the garden. But they take joy in that, and it's like, wow, they look like they're having pure joy messing people over. This week alone, that happened to my family. Somebody takes a word and changes it. Changes the whole meaning of what that person was trying to say, and then makes this massive deal over this. Happened to one of my kids this week. Not me. One of my kids. Where is he going to try to attack me at? Guys, it's so easy to start looking around and miss what true joy is. Nothing destroys joy like comparison. Oh, man. I mean, you can just look on Facebook and see their highlight reels, right? You really can. I mean, it's just like, oh, I wish I had that. Man, I wish I could provide that for my family. If I just work a little bit harder, if I just do this a little bit more, that's just going to pull you away from exactly what God has for you. So let me try to define joy the best I can. And if I mess this up, it's okay. Will's going to fix it next week. So, oh, Lord. Last time I wrote a message, I only got through like 3/4 of it, so I thought, you know what, I'm going to shorten it down this time because I never get through all my message. So we might get out here a little early and get some lunch a little bit early, or we might take over, who knows. But joy is used over 200 times in the Bible, just the actual word of joy. If you start looking for like joyful and all these other words that have joy in it, it's like over 400 and some times in the Bible. And I asked Will about his definition, and he said, and I thought this was really good too. I couldn't find a better one. The Message Bible says an exuberance for life. An excitement is what exuberance means. Excitement, high spirit, an excitement for life. Can you just feel that word excitement? What excites you when you think about it? So I thought, we can read in the Word and have all these amazing scriptures and stuff like that, which I'm going to read. But I thought, how can we just kind of make it real right now for us? And I thought about joy, and I thought, when I thought about the word joy, I thought about how beautiful that man is. And I don't just mean just on the outside. He is a beautiful man. But who he is on the inside. I want to ask you guys a question. If you've seen his excitement and his joy for life in the last month, you raise your hand. Okay, put him down. If he's prayed over you or you've got something out of his message, raise your hand. If you felt God's presence in him, you raise your hand. Did you know in the last month the man lost his mother? That's not joyful. That's not a lot of joy in that. He also, we just talked about, he lost his father. So something deep down inside of him is where his joy comes from, right? Because it can't be circumstance. It can't be your circumstance that you get your joy from. Your joy has to come from somewhere else. I know you don't mind me using you as an example. I love you, brother. You know, joy, I loved what Carrie said earlier. Joy is a choice. It's not this feeling. Can you get an excitement out of it? Yes, you're going to feel good. But it's that choice that you get to make every single day. In James 1:2, if you want to put it up, it says, consider it pure joy, my brother and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind. Not so easy when you face trials to have joy. Lost his mother and preached that Sunday. Not so easy when you're going through those trials to have joy to get up here and love on somebody. And I promise you, there's a lot of people that didn't know that, had problems, came straight to him. And it ain't just him, his family had to go through it. But they served. They didn't miss youth. They got up here and they served on stage because their circumstance isn't where their joy comes from. Joy is not always the absence of sadness. I'll prove it to you. Jesus got turned over to the guards. He probably wasn't too joyful when they were ripping out his beard, or the cat of nine tails, or the spitting, or the yelling at him, or taking a cross and carrying it that far up a hill as blood was coming rushing down. He probably wasn't too joyful when he's up there and they've nailed his hands to the cross or his feet to the cross. Probably wasn't too joyful, but he did find joy in the outcome of the events of what was going to happen afterwards, didn't he? He knew that what he was doing, he was still praying for him while he was up on stage. He was still speaking to his father for them while he was on the cross. Because he still had something inside of him, the joy inside of him, because he knew the outcome. When he died, what was going to happen for every one of us? That's where his joy was. Not in his circumstance. In Nehemiah 8:10, Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drink and send some to those who have not prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. And he throws this gem in here. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Where's your strength from today? You know, every time we have to be careful, because when we learn messages or we learn something that really changes us, man, he's just going to come and try to mess you up that week. And he ain't going to wait for the week. He ain't going to wait for the middle of the week. He's going to wait for you to wake up in the morning. Yeah, come on. Guys, he is lurking. He is lurking. He is. He's right there all the time. You step out these doors, a quarter of us might have a fight with our spouse. He's just right there. You go get some food, the waiter or waitress doesn't do what you think they should do. He's right there. How important is your response? He doesn't want you to experience joy. He doesn't want you to experience the strength. Because it gives us strength to have this joy. And it's the opposite of what he is. He wants to rock us. He wants to make you weak and keep you in this weak place. Because if you're weak, and you don't have somebody helping you, or you're not listening, or you're not allowing that strength to be inside of you, he's gonna take your weakness and mess with you. Who in the world has felt that before? Your weakness, and he just plays with you. He just plays with it. I watch it in me. I watch it in my family. I watch it in people around me. I own a business. I watch it in them all the time, and I hate it for them. But I can guarantee you, I'm going to speak out, and I'm going to say something to them. I'm going to pray with them. I'm like, hey, man, is everything okay? Because you know he just toys with us, and he wants you in that place. So if you felt that weakness, and you live in that weakness, and you want this joy I'm speaking about, we're going to talk about it here in a minute. Because it's kind of like this. We have to prepare ourselves. Because if I'm bending down and I'm talking to somebody, I'm having a good conversation like this, and my son, who's about 115 pounds, Elijah, comes running up and jumps on my back, what happens? He's going to knock me down. Or I'm going to pull something in my back. I'm getting a little bit older. It happens. But the same 115 pounds is on a bar. I squat that baby. Guess what? That's a warm-up weight. That's a warm-up weight. So when we prepare ourselves, it's just getting ready. You're prepared. You got it right in front of you. You've prepared yourself in a way that it's just a warm-up weight when it comes at you. I mean, seriously, we can go home with just that. Man, if I just would prepare myself, how do I prepare myself? How are you preparing yourself in the morning? How important is it to you? How important is it to wake up ready? How important is it to be ready when he hits you in the mouth later on in the day, later on in the week? How important is it for you to be ready when somebody else is getting attacked? Does it matter to you? Man, I'll tell you what. Calvin, you preached a good message. I re-listened to it the other day about getting prepared and what he does in the morning, how God has spoke to him about waking up just a little earlier. I'll tell you what, I don't want to go to bed earlier. I like staying up with my kids or watching that last thing on TV or something. I don't want to give it up. It's hard. But man, if I would just wake up 30 minutes early and I crack open the Bible, it can be one sentence. Sometimes I go to the bathroom and my wife's got a little calendar thing right there that has the little scripture right there. That's all I need all day long. I just, man, that's good. Every time something happens, it's funny. I can just use that scripture to come against it. It's like God always just provides it right there. But if we would take that moment in the morning, we'd crack open that word, or we would just simply just pray. When I pray, God, I thought, man, I'm doing really good for a really long time. I would wake up, first thing I would do is I'd pray, and then I'd wake back up. But I would pray first, so I was giving him my first, right? Then I'd wake back up. And then God says, pretty relaxed, aren't you? Yes, sir. So I found out if I sit up, I'm a little bit colder, and it keeps me a little bit more alert. I don't fall asleep that way. But I got to prep myself. I got to start right, because if I don't start with him first, I don't know. Everything in my day just gets off. You guys ever had that? You just get off? Maybe every day like that's for you. You wake up, and you're like, man, it's just off. I can promise you what's on, what you can do to get on. What's on is him in your life. If you would just step in, and you would just let him speak to you whatever he has to say for you. And it might be one word. And he might just be silent. Man, there's so much in silence. So much in silence. That if we would just take a minute and we let him speak into us in the morning, how prepared do you think you're going to be for your kids and when your wife's or your husband or your friends are just going through stuff? I can assure you, when I got four kids, it's chaotic in my house sometimes in the morning. I mean, some of them are waking up going, My daughter, she jumps out of bed, just like, whoop, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, sit down. She's like ready to go. If you ain't ready for that, it'll get you in the morning, I'm telling you. You got to be ready for that. Because she's got so much joy in life. It's like she's excitement all the time. Just boom, she's just ready. She's eating and it's go time. That's how she's built. Jonah, unfortunately, it takes him 20 more minutes to get out of bed. You know, we're trying to help pull him out. But he also the first one done eating. I don't think he tastes his food. He just, boom. You're more like Jonah. Oh, man. I'll tell you what. If you ain't ready in the morning, it's going to really feel like you're bending over and somebody jumps on you and hurt you. I mean, it might be 2 weeks before you recover off that baby on your back. I've woke up like, how did I pull something getting out of bed? You know what I mean? It happens, and he's going to sneak up on you just like that. Satan wants to jump on you. As soon as your back's turned, he wants to jump on you. He's going to take people in your life today, tomorrow, at work. He's going to try to use them. He's going to try to maybe take what you say, do this, or maybe their attitude just isn't good. You know what? You can grab their attitude and take it with you. You can be like, I'm going to be the same. I'm going to be frustrated. You can have a really tough day at work, out cleaning, out doing something, really tough day at work, and you come home with that tough day at work. What happens to your kids? What do they feel? They're going to feel that. There's weight there. If you bring that weight home with you, everybody now gets to carry that weight. It isn't like you just, you take a little bit and they take a little bit. They have the same amount of weight in some way. They don't even know where the weight comes from. That's like you jumping on their back. And I'm sorry, my kids can't handle my weight. They can't. I can't hardly handle my own weight. Sometimes it's hard to get up in the morning to stand up. And if I eat too much, I really can't handle my weight. Luke 1, I'm going to read 39 through 44. At this time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country in Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus died yet? Had the Holy Spirit come down yet? Huh. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Now, I want to kind of set a little bit of the scene for you. Mary, who is obviously going to be the mother of Jesus, was visited by an angel, and the angel told her, "You're going to get pregnant," which she had never been with a man. So she accepts that. She is now pregnant. She's engaged. She had never been with a man. How awkward do you think that conversation was with Joseph? By the way, I'm pregnant. It was God. Really? Okay. Now, Joseph was a pretty awesome guy, obviously, because he had the authority to turn her in and she would get stoned to death. They would have killed her. And he didn't do that. He was going to marry her and secretly divorce her. So having said that, Mary hasn't probably got to tell anybody that she was pregnant. She's holding this in. And she's like, I'm starting a show. I got to go somewhere. Or they're going to all know because I'm not married yet. So she goes to her aunt's house, Elizabeth. And when she goes to Elizabeth, Elizabeth automatically knows because of what's going on. And she's like, oh my gosh, now she gets to share with her. Why I told that whole story was it's his presence in our life that causes the life within us to leap. What's in us? His presence in us. But if we're not waking up and pulling him with us and trying to read and do, it's not easy, guys. I mean, has everybody heard of the full armor of God? When I wake up, I want to have the full armor of God on. I want to be ready for this battle I'm about to face. I promise you, if you go in a sword battle with armor on, you're going to feel a little bit more confident than if you have no armor on, and they do. So it's got to be inside of you. And if it's him, it doesn't make sense to the world why you're so excited. It doesn't make sense to the world that they have lost somebody, but he can still preach and he's still excited and he still loves God and he still loves you and he's still there for somebody. It doesn't make sense to the world. We're not of the world, right? I'm rolling through it. We're going to be done early. God himself is our source of joy. And in Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the spirits. First one it mentions is love. The second one is joy. Joy is a byproduct of the Holy Spirit living in and abiding inside of us. Jesus has died for us. You have the Holy Spirit. You ask and it's there. You have it. So in those moments that you're like, I know I should have been doing this, Holy Spirit's probably the one going, hey, listen. Because the more we listen, the more we hear that voice. Because I promise you, the other voice is pretty darn loud if you let it be. Hey, look at what they have over here. Hey, look what they're wearing. Hey, look at all the vacations. Hey, look at their family, how well they're dressed, how good their kids behave. So easy to see that. But we don't want to always focus on the good because the bad is always so much easier to see. Choosing to respond to life's difficult situations with inner contentment and satisfaction doesn't seem to make sense, especially to the world. And I'm going to end with this. My keyboardist would come up and rock us out. We're ready. I want to end with this cool story. I told this story a couple years ago, but man, it has stuck with me when I think of joy. So on this road, it had to be 10, maybe 15 years ago, but on this road, I'm driving down this road, and it's just got night. It's probably 7 o'clock at night. I'm driving home. It is snowing. It ain't just snowing, it's sleet snowing. And it's got to be around 20-some degrees outside, and it's probably 6 inches on the ground. And I'm driving up this road going home, and all I got to do is, I live off Fairgrounds, all I got to do is get to Fairgrounds, turn right, and I'm right there. But there's this guy walking. And I'm like, dude, what is wrong with you? It is snowing. I'm thinking, you're heading out of town. How do you make it? Like, it's 20 degrees outside, freezing, windshield's going crazy. And he's just walking. And I'm like, either this guy's a nut or he needs some help. I'm sure hoping he needed help. Because I pulled over to pick him up. I pulled over and was like, hey, man, you need a ride? Which is obviously, he was going to say, yes. The guy had a big old smile. Oh, man, thanks. Jumps in. He goes, where are you going? I said, where are you going? He goes, I'm heading to Cushing. He goes, if you're going that way, if you just want to drop me off the highway, I'll start walking that way. I said, no, sir. No, sir, you're crazy. So I just started driving. I really didn't say no. I just kept driving. I was like, so what are you doing out here? I mean, what are you walking in the snow for like this? And he begins to tell me his story. He says, oh, I walk every Monday from Cushing to Stillwater. And I walk home every Friday after I'm done. You walk? What are you doing over in Stillwater? Oh, he was so, guys, you got to understand, this guy had so much joy and he was so excited to tell this story. He had to be freezing because he said that he hadn't got a ride yet, which, are you kidding me? Anyways, so I pick him up, we're doing this. He was like freezing cold. He goes, oh, I'm part of a program in Meridian Tech for welding and I only have a few months left. I've been doing it for 2 years. You've been walking from Cushing for 2 years? He goes, well, sometimes people pick me up. He goes, but I know exactly how long it takes to walk it. And if I go this way, I get more likely somebody to pick me up. But if not, it takes me, and he told me the time period and everything. So he would leave at that certain time every Monday morning to do it. Then he would go to Meridian for class. He goes, sometimes I'd almost be late, but I'd make it in. Then he would leave there and walk across town because he worked at McDonald's. And he would work there. And he would work as late as he could and get as many hours as he could because he didn't really have anywhere to go, so he'd have to go find somewhere to sleep. Or he would just try to work and take 2 shifts. And he would do it all week long. Why his family lived in Cushing. And then every Friday he would walk home. I'm telling you, if I had to do that for my family, I don't think I would have a lot of joy. I'd be like, well, my gosh, we got to get a car. We're moving to Stillwater. We're doing something here. This is crazy. But this guy was so excited to do this for his family. He's like, I'm almost done. He was so excited that I've done this for my family. He was so excited because a job, he was like, they're going to get me a job. I just know it. He had this joy inside of him that I'm like, man, I got a truck. I got a house. I'm paying my bills okay. My kids are doing really good. My wife's got a vehicle. This guy doesn't have any vehicle. And I took him all the way home. And he was just so excited because he thought I was dropping him off in the highway. I couldn't do that. That's crazy. Where did his joy come from? I asked him, how can you be so excited? He goes, man, God has just been providing for us.
God has been providing for my family. He has given me this, the schooling's been paid for. He's given me this job. I have a job that I know is going to be waiting for me. They have like a 98% rate where they find people jobs right after college. He could only see what was going to happen because God was showing him, if you just keep doing this, I'm in this right here. I'm with you and your family. I'm with you and your situation. It comes from in here. His strength was from God. His joy was from God. It wasn't him. His circumstance didn't dictate who he was. His God did. And if a man that goes through something like that every day, right here in Oklahoma, right down the road from us, can be joyful and happy in his situation and circumstance, I'm pretty sure we could do the same. So let's pray. If this touched you and you feel like, I need more joy in my life like that, just keep your eyes closed. Just raise your hand really quick and put it down. I'm raising mine too, by the way. I showed you what it doesn't look like. I showed you what it does look like. We've talked about how to prepare. And if it does bother you in your life that you don't have the joy that you want to have, you get to have that choice to step in to how to change your own life. God gives us that choice. That's why he's so good. Sometimes I don't want that choice. I just simply want him to make the choice for me, but he isn't going to do that until I lay it down at his feet. There's a man side and a God side, and your side is just simply wake up, let him have it to prepare yourself, full armor of God, to worship him, to pray to him, to read about him, because we're just in this life a short time. And after that short time's over, we have eternity in either heaven or hell. There is no alternative. That's what we got. And I want to be so prepared that when somebody is choosing that eternity in hell, that I can step out and have this joy inside of me that they see. And when God says, how in the world can you in your circumstance or what you're going through, I say, it's all God. It is God that does it within me. And if you want to have the same joy as I do, you just simply have to pray and give it to him, and he will take care of it. It's not easy, but he is right there with us. So Father, right now, I pray for everybody that's here. I ask that you would let them feel your presence, not just in this church, but when they go home, that they would chew on this in their life, that when they wake up tomorrow, it wouldn't just be the same day, the same routine, but they would take their routine and change it for you because you're worth it. Father, they are worth it. Or you wouldn't be speaking to them this morning. Let this resonate and give us strength from the inside. Let us have this joy from you. You are so worth everything that we can do. You are so worth everything that we have. Father, you are so worth everything we have to go through. Because you had to go through so much more for us. And if there's anybody in here who doesn't know God, this is the single most important decision you can make in your life. Nobody's looking around. Everybody's eyes are closed. If you want to accept him into your heart today, simply raise your hand, put it right back down. Don't miss this opportunity if he has for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for your anointing on this congregation. We thank you for your spirit that you have in this church. We thank you for this moment in our life that matters. You are so good to us. Help us. Help us in this moment
that we not miss your word and just edge it into our hearts. Let your joy be overwhelming in our lives so much that other people get changed because of it. Thank you for your word this morning and for who you are in each one of us. In your name, amen.